Good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday. This is Reverend Koyo Kubose here, and I'm so glad you joined us and hope all is well with you. And you know, if everything all is not well, remember that life is still okay, even when things are not going okay. This is the big okay, the capital O okay, the Dharma okay, oops, the suchness of life. Well, today's guest to give us a Dharma glimpse is Dave Merrick of Madison, Wisconsin, who is in the second year of our lay ministry program, and we'll finish up next May. So, for today's Dharma glimpse, Dave Merrick.
The title of my Dharma glimpse is, "Thanks, Mom. I'll pass it on. I love to hug my children, and there are all kinds of occasions to do this. On one such occasion is when my six-year-old daughter came to me sad, frustrated, and ready to cry. It's then I'm reminded, once again, of a lesson my mother taught me when I was a child. I would come to my mom, sad, frustrated, and ready to cry, and she'd take me in her arms. And with a gentle, rocking motion, she would hug me and whisper that she understood. She'd say, oh, life is so frustrating at your age. This simple acknowledgement of my situation, combined with her warm embrace, always brought a newfound comfort and calmness. Now I pass this lesson on. As I find myself faced with my young daughter, who is frustrated and ready to cry, I am ready to pick her up, hug her, and with a gentle rocking motion, whisper in her ear that I too understand. It works. She takes a deep breath. I can feel a calm come over her. And I think to myself, thanks, Mom.
Thank you very much, Dave-san. As I listen to your talk, you know, it reminds me of, it's related to what I wanted to talk today about, parental love is something that has a special quality that goes beyond our world of morality and ethics and beyond judgments of right and wrong and so forth. You know, sometimes children, they want to be the favorite of the parent. They say, who do you like better, Joe or me? And don't say both. They can't understand that for parents, they unconditionally love all their children the best, you know. And particularly if, say, a parent of a child who breaks the law or is, you know, incarcerated or something like this, the parent doesn't stop loving that child. It doesn't mean that the child did not do something wrong, you know, and so forth. But this is a separate area, and that's what I want to talk about today. That our spiritual needs goes beyond the world of morality and ethics. And I want to start off by telling you a Sufi story. Sufis are the mystic branch of Islam. They have a lot of teaching stories. And one main character in the Sufi stories is Nasruddin, who's kind of a wise sage. But, you know, sages sometimes are foolish in their own way. You know, they have their own way of seeing things that makes up what their wisdom is all about. So Nasruddin, his reputation was known to be a wise man, and as this story goes, there was a court case It was A and B came to court, bumping heads in front of the judge, and the judge asked Nasruddin to sit in and sort of give his opinion and to help decide this case. So Nasruddin listens to, let's say, A, side A, presents the case, and he listens very carefully, and Nasruddin says, "You're right." Then the judge says, "No, wait a minute, Nasruddin. Wait a minute. You better hear the other side, B's side." So B presents their side of the case. Nasruddin listens very carefully, and then he says, "You're right." The judge says, wait a minute, Nasruddin. You can't say that's right to both A and B, because this is a court case, and you have to decide one way or the other." And he explained why. Nasruddin listened very carefully to the judge, and he says, "You're right." What is the moral of this teaching story? You have to think about it a little bit. And I was always a little bit felt inadequate in how to comment on this story. I liked the story, but I never knew what the words to express a good teaching from it. Because one part of the story, the listener might say, well, the teaching is not very practical if it can't help, you know, decide who's right and wrong in this case. You know, you gotta carry out the law. That's true. But here's something that I think adds something or clarifies what this Sufi story is trying to say. And it's from a recent Buddhist Church newsletter article written by a colleague of mine, Reverend Marvin Harada, who's a minister at the Orange County, California Buddhist Church. And when I read his article, I said, hey, that really fits in with this Nasruddin Sufi story of "you're right, you're right, you're right," you know. Here's what he says. The title of his article is "The Limits of the World of Morality and Ethics." So Reverend Marvin says, "Hey, for the past 3 weeks, I've been involved in jury duty, serving on a jury in a civil case. Been quite an experience, and actually my first time in serving on a jury. Now, as a juror, we have to look at evidence and then make a decision for one side or the other. And this was difficult to do. Certain things were clear one way, but not in others. Both sides testified, they seemed to have something, you know, true about it. But in other ways, it seemed like they were sort of even hiding the truth. Inconsistencies and contradictions in statements and depositions were brought out by the lawyers for both the defense and the plaintiff's side. We, the jurors, have to sift through all the evidence and testimony and then make our decision. As we listened to several days of testimony and cross-examination, I began to feel for both sides involved. I felt the truth was not black or white, but was somewhere in the gray area in between. I found myself wishing there would be some way in which the final outcome, where neither side would win or lose, or that they would both win or lose in some manner. I didn't want one side to be the absolute winner, nor the other side to be the absolute loser. I could see responsibility for the incident on both sides. Courts of law make it difficult to decide on the gray area in between. You are forced to make decisions one way or the other. It was very frustrating to have to think only in terms of the right and wrong of the matter from a moral and ethical perspective." He goes on to say, "Now, Buddhism is a religion and a teaching that, of course, has a foundation in morality and ethics, but it is also a teaching that goes beyond morality and ethics. Of course, Buddhism doesn't teach us to go around killing or lying or stealing, but at the same time, Buddhism is a teaching of spiritual awakening and liberation that even a person on death row could awaken to. In fact, a person who is in prison, whom in the eyes of the moral and ethical world is immoral, can have a deeper understanding of Buddhism than perhaps someone who is a so-called moral and ethical person. He says, I remember reading years ago a wonderful book written by a Buddhist minister who counseled the Japanese war criminals who were on death row. Now, these war criminals were in some cases very high-ranking officers in the military, but they were convicted of war crimes and sentenced to death. This particular minister was asked to visit and counsel these war criminals in their last weeks and days of their lives. Through the wonderful teaching and guidance of this particular minister, many of those war criminals came to have a profound understanding of Buddhism, and it was expressed in poems and letters that they themselves had written. That book really opened my eyes to a world beyond the moral and ethical realm. Now, of course, these war criminals did commit horrible things during the war, but if all of that was in the world of morality and ethics, then these war criminals would have been destined for nothing but their execution to end their pitiful lives. But through this wonderful minister and the teachings themselves, they came to awaken and realize a teaching that goes beyond the world of morality and ethics. They were able to touch the heart of the Buddha, the heart of wisdom and compassion, and they were able to face their execution with a sense of peace, weighed with their deep remorse. The world of morality and ethics is a limited world. It can determine right or wrong only in a moral sense. It cannot bring comfort to a prisoner on death row. It cannot bring comfort to a parent who has a child in jail. It cannot bring comfort to a parent of a victim of a violent crime. No amount of dollars awarded can ease the pain and suffering that someone might have incurred. But there is a world, there is a teaching that goes beyond the limited world of morality and ethics. That is the world of the Buddha Dharma. You see, if you were to lose a child to a violent crime, and say they caught the criminal and he is sentenced and even executed, in a moral and ethical sense, you would have to say that justice was served. But of course, you know, in your own mind and heart, would that justice erase the pain and suffering in your heart and mind? No way! No, there has to be a teaching, and there is a teaching that goes beyond morality and ethics to address the world of the heart that cannot be comforted through ethics and justice alone. So Reverend Marvin concludes, his last paragraph is, this experience of jury duty has given me the opportunity to appreciate the depth and breadth of the Buddha Dharma, a teaching that goes beyond the world of morality and ethics. Although we must have morality and ethics to live as a society, that alone cannot fulfill the spiritual needs of the innermost hearts and minds of human beings. Well, this kind of Dharma talk on this kind of topic, I think, is very crucial for us. Practical ways to how to live and how to function, you know, how to live in an absolute world, absolute life in a relative world. We live in the relative world of dualities. You know, how do you live a life of oneness. You're not denying the reality, or we're not denying there's right and wrong, fair and unfair. But it doesn't mean we have to victimize ourselves by it. Okay? We have to deal with it. Okay? And so this is crucial to keep that, to know that kind of perspective, that spiritual perspective. Okay? It's not a contradiction. You might think you have to choose between one or the other, the heart or the mind, so to speak. But not so. The challenge is how to integrate. And you can, we can. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. And I'd like to thank Dave Merrick for his Dharma Glimpse. And I'd like to thank all of you for calling in. And wishing you, as always, a very beautiful day.